we have come to now, the new heaven and the new earth. And really, this is the point that the whole Bible has been moving up to all along from the very beginning of verses of the book of Genesis. As we're going to try to see that in more clarity here now as we trace the theme of God dwelling among his people all through the Bible. So, all right, well, let's pray, and then we'll get to it. Father, we ask your blessing once again now as we come to your word. We thank you for these great truths that are written here for us, for our encouragement and for your glory. We pray that our study now this morning of this 21st chapter of Revelation in particular would encourage us and remind us where our true home is, that it is real, it is coming, and we pray that you would come soon and bring us into this new heavens and new earth. And we pray this all in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, let's read a few verses here a ways into Revelation 21. John says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more.'"
I don't think this is working right.
Verla says this isn't working right. We might have to do a restart here.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll be right back.
It shows you lag, but then
part of this chapter on the new heaven and the new earth. "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away.' And he who was seated on the throne said, 'Behold, I'm making all things new.' Also he said, 'Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true.' And he said to me, 'It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give from the spring of the water of life without payment. The one who conquers will have this heritage, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death.'" And then it goes on to describe the new Jerusalem, which is Christ's perfected and glorified church. All right, well, you notice the recurrence here of the word new, right? New heaven, new earth. Then I think it recurs again down in the bottom. Well, even the, you know, like the phrase, "the former things have passed away." Same kind of theme. And I know there was another one here, but I was skimming over it. I must have missed it here. Anyway, you see the emphasis here on new. And that is a profound concept, as we're going to see. found. This is the new creation. And in this new creation, as I think we've said before, what we have is Eden restored. All right? Eden restored. Only with some major improvements. It is not possible for Adam to sin in this Eden. This Eden is eternal. Sin has been ultimately redeemed. We are new creations in this sense, superior to the first Adam. We will not be able to sin. No one will sin and will be no more. And as a result, the curse will be no more. There will be no death and so on. Now, what I want to do first here, I think, is to show you the significance here of God dwelling among his people in this new heaven and new earth. This is a theme that started way back in Eden. It is a theme, God dwelling among his people, and he will be their God. Then, if you it's very important to grasp that theme as the big picture of the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation. In a way, it can be said that this is the story theme of the Bible. That this is what the Bible is all about. Oftentimes, you know, we say that the Bible is about the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, it is, absolutely. We see him again, also from Genesis to Revelation. But his work, the redemptive work that the Lord Jesus effected for us has a purpose. And that purpose is the new heaven and the new earth where righteousness dwells, where God, specifically, where God tabernacles, he temples. Among his people, he dwells with his people. That's how it was in Eden, right? God would come and in the cool of the day and there be there with Adam and Eve, and so the new creation, the new heavens and the new earth, is Eden restored in that sense, right? Verse 3, he will dwell with them. Well, it starts even, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. Now, I'll show you one thing first before we go back to Genesis, but see if I get this right. Okay, this is Amazon here. So, for a mere, it sounds like I'm a salesman here, but I just want you to know that it's available here. I see that they've marked it down from $10 to $5. It must not be selling much. Anyway, this is a book, or kind of a booklet. It's not, it's fairly good size here, but not very, very thick. But I would recommend that you get this book, not so that I sell books, but because it traces and illustrates this theme of God dwelling among his people and us dwelling with him. And I called it In My Father's House, you know, in John 14. I go to prepare a place for you. In my Father's house are many mansions and so on. So in my Father's house, God's redemptive plan from Genesis to Revelation. So that's there. And that's the thing, that's the theme that we're going to be looking at here. It was interesting. I, I search for my books that are listed on Amazon by my name. I put my name in, you know, and did a search. And this one, like, holistic healing book came up, written by Dr. Jeff Crippen. I don't know. There you go. I didn't know that. I knew there was another Jeff Crippen somewhere that's like a car salesman, if you Google that name. But I didn't write the one on holistic healing. So there you go. But here it is, In My Father's House. And I think also this is a good capsulized tool that you could hand to someone, you could give to somebody, and say, here, do you want to know what the Bible's all about? This is the story of the Bible. There's another one on here too that's similar format called What is a Christian? All right, what is a Christian? And that's another good tool as well. Anyway, that's enough for self-promotion here. I'll shrink that down back to the text. And here's what we're going to do. We're going to do a search. And it's going to be, I'm just going to do dwell among. Okay, we'll do a search for that. Search for all of the words in the whole Bible. So we'll come up with some verses that don't apply, like this first one. For my son from the daughters of the Canaanites, among whom I will dwell, that kind of a thing. But look at this one. Exodus 29:45. Now I said we're going to go back to Genesis, but so let's just note that, all right? As we've already said, this theme begins in Genesis. God dwelling among his people in Eden. The theme is a little bit more than that. The theme is how God in Christ, somebody says, you know, what's the Bible about? Well, it's about how God in Christ, ended, remedied, maybe that's a good word, how God in Christ remedied the separation between God and his people, which sin caused, all right, which was caused by man's sin, which separated God from man and resulted in the curse. All right. So we live in a world that is separated from God. Christ came into this world to effect a restoration of fellowship between God and his people. So we see this theme then from Genesis. Here's one in Exodus. Let's look at this verse. Get rid of that. Okay. Here's the instructions given to Israel to build a tent of meeting, a tabernacle. All right. Okay. Now, what was that all about? Why did God tell them to build a tabernacle? Which was a precursor, by the way, of the temple. I think, in fact, let's see here. Good old G.K. Veal has, you see this book? The Temple and the Church's Mission. Check this out now. A Biblical Theology of the Dwelling Place of God. So in this book, in more detail, of course, Beale's always the detail man, what he's doing is, he's doing the same thing that we're doing right here. In fact, on the back cover back here, he quotes what we're looking at here, Revelation 21. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, and I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, and here it is, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. Let's see what. So listen to this description of the book. It'll describe our theme that we're looking at. In this comprehensive study, G.K. Beale argues that the Old Testament tabernacle and temples were symbolically designed to point to the end time reality that God's presence, formerly limited to the Holy of Holies, right? Right? It's not in this tabernacle. Why did God tell Israel to build it? Because it would be a dwelling place for him. And lo and behold, it's among his people. But it's still deficient in this sense. God dwelt in the Holy of Holies. And you couldn't just walk in to the Holy of Holies and talk with God. You'd be toast, right? So it's still not Eden restored, but it's a step in that direction. And that's what's happening in the Bible. As you go from Genesis and move on through the Bible, what's happening is God's purpose of dwelling among his people and them being his people and he being their God forever, sin done away with, is it's happening step by step. And as you move through the Bible, God's dwelling among his people gets closer and closer, as we'll see. All right, so this points to end time reality that God's presence, formerly limited to the Holy of Holies, was to be extended throughout the whole cosmos. So that, as we'll see, by the time you get to Revelation, the book of Revelation, what happens? It's interesting. John says, there was no temple. There's no temple in the new heavens and the new earth. Why? Because God and the Lamb are the temple. That is to say, wherever you go in the new creation, it's a temple because God and the Lamb, Christ, are there. All right? The whole universe is the temple because God is all in all. He's everywhere. We could put it this way. The whole temple or the whole new creation is the Holy of Holies. But we are in the Holy Holies permanently because sin is no more. This little description goes on here. This stimulating exposition traces the theme, get this now, traces the theme of the tabernacle and temple along the Bible's storyline, also illuminating many texts and closely related themes. It shows how the significance and symbolism of the temple can be better understood in light of contrast to and similarities with Near Eastern assumptions and offers new insights into the meaning of the temple in both Old and New Testament. So what that's talking about is that he's also kind of like an expert on other, I guess for that matter, we'd call it pagan temples, and what those pagan peoples thought about a temple and what a temple was and so forth. And at any rate, that's that. Yeah, so there it is. That book is about exactly what we are talking about here. So here it is then. God's giving the instruction to them, to Israel, to build this tabernacle. It shall be a regular burnt offering throughout your generation at the entrance of the tent. See, this other name for it, tent of meeting. Why is it called that? Because that's where God would meet with his people. He would meet with their representative, the high priest, right? But it's very limited. The high priest could only enter in on what the Day of Atonement and so forth. So where I will meet with you there at the tabernacle to speak to you there. There I will meet with the people of Israel, and it shall be sanctified by my glory. I will consecrate the tent of meeting and the altar, Aaron also and his sons I will consecrate to serve me as priests. Why all of this? How come? Well, here it is. I will dwell among the people of Israel and will be their God. And they shall know that I am the Lord their God, who brought them out of the land of Egypt, that I might dwell among them. I am the Lord their God. See, this is his purpose, always. And so the movement from Genesis to Revelation is God coming closer and closer to this full, ultimately face-to-face dwelling among his people. So let's see now. Oh, I can go back to the search here and erase it. All right. Dwell among all the Bible search. Here we go. This won't get larger, but all right. So we looked at Exodus 29:45. Again, repeated in verse 46 there. They shall know that I am the Lord their God, who brought them out of the land of Egypt. How come he did that? That I might dwell among them. See? I mean, this theme just keeps getting hammered and hammered home here. then, let's see. First Kings 6:13, and I will dwell among the children of Israel and will not forsake my people Israel. And I will dwell among my own people. Psalm 68. This is interesting. In the Ephesians study, we looked at this verse, quoted in Ephesians 4. You ascended on high, leading a host of captives in your train, and receiving gifts among men, even among the rebellious. Now, and we saw that in quoting that in Ephesians 4, the Apostle Paul was talking about Christ descending, coming into this world, conquering the enemy, conquering Satan on the cross, and then ascending into heaven, leading captivity captive. And we looked at all that, but look at this again. So this is the ministry of Christ, his incarnation, coming into this world, going to the cross for our sins, ascending back to the Father. Why? What's the purpose of all that? That the Lord God may dwell there. See, there it is. I mean, think about how the love of God, the grace and mercy of God shown to us. In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That God resolved, after Adam and Eve sinned and we sinned in him, and the curse came and they were cast out of Eden, and here's this mess that we're in, and yet God resolved to save and redeem his people so that he could once again dwell among us. Why are we created? I always get this mixed up because I'm not very good at remembering the catechisms and so forth, but I think it's Westminster Shorter Catechism, you know. What is the chief end or purpose of man? What's the chief end of man? To glorify God and enjoy him forever. That enjoy has the idea that if you're going to enjoy God, you need to be with God. That is the chief end of man. Christ came into the world, John chapter 1. He was the life and light of men. And he came as a light into the darkness. So, Psalm, let's see here now, just kind of, you see how this works, it kind of generalized here. this is kind of the opposite of this, okay? Isaiah 33, The sinners in Zion are afraid. Trembling has seized the godless. Who among us can dwell with the consuming fire? Who among us can dwell with everlasting burnings? Well, the answer to that is nobody, because of sin. We can't be in the presence of God, who is a consuming fire, right? But Christ comes into the world to restore fellowship then with God. all right, so I'm just kind of thumbing through this then, and there's the end of that search. There's another way you can search in here, and that's just to click on this commentary thing, and it'll give you these cross references, right? So check out these cross references here. Exodus 15:17. You will bring them in and plant them on your own mountain, the place, O Lord, which you have made for your abode, the sanctuary, O Lord, which your hands have established. So it's talking about bringing his people into his sanctuary where he dwells. Exodus 25:8. Let them make me a sanctuary. That's a tent of meeting, the tabernacle. Why? That I may dwell in their midst. Leviticus 26. And I will walk among you and will be your God, and you shall be my people. That is the theme of the Bible. Right there. That is it. Psalm 68 we already looked at. Zechariah chapter 2. Sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion, for behold, I come and I dwell in your midst, declares the Lord. John 14. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, and then catch this, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. Now at this point, okay, now think about this. The thing starts out in Eden. God dwelling among his people. Sin comes, separates that fellowship. And man is cast out from the presence of God, from Eden. God sets out to restore Eden. Why? Because he wants to restore that fellowship with his people that he created them for. So what's the next step here then? You got the tabernacle in the wilderness, and then you're gonna move on to, and I might be skipping over some examples here, but certainly by the time we get to David and Solomon and so forth, and God has them build a more permanent tabernacle, the temple. So they build the temple in Jerusalem. What happens there? Well, what happens is, again, it's the same thing. God is in Jerusalem, on Mount Zion, in his temple, dwelling among his people. I think it's in Ezekiel, in the opening chapters, that it shows how, because of the sin and covenant breaking of the Israelites, it shows in vision form, right? Ezekiel sees the glory of God departing from the temple. He's not going to dwell among them anymore. He departs then from the temple. All right, here's another one. John 14 again, verse 20. In that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. All right. Now, what's going on here? Well, the next step in this work of redemption, in which God is working to restore face-to-face fellowship with his people, The next step that comes along, because as you know, the glory of God had departed from the temple and so on. But then comes what? In the opening chapters of the New Testament, we have Christ. Christ comes into the world. And while Christ is in the world, right, something, we get some more insight into this drama of redemption, the temple. And what is it? Well, remember, in reference to the temple there in Jerusalem, Jesus had told his disciples, it's all coming down. That temple in Jerusalem, it's all coming down, which happened in 70 AD when the Romans destroyed the temple. But why did God have the temple destroyed? Because it was no longer his dwelling place. Where was his dwelling place? Jesus said, destroy this body, or this temple. Destroy this temple, and I will raise it up in 3 days. Of course, the Jews didn't get what he's talking about. But what he's saying is, while he was here in this world, the temple of God was him, Christ. And what is the temple of God? Now the temple of God has come into the world in the person of Jesus Christ. God literally then dwelling among his people. Here he is with his disciples and so forth, true Israelites. And so he is the temple. You see, again, this is a step closer to restoring fellowship than with God. And then the theme moves on. In fact, it's shown here, Jesus is talking about it, that in that day you will know that I am in my Father and you in me and I in you. What's going on there? What's happening there? What's going on is that Jesus is telling his disciples that once he ascends into heaven, you'll see it in the opening chapters of Acts, he comes to them again, right? I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. And that's what happened on the day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit comes. And what does the Holy Spirit do? The Holy Spirit indwells Christ's people, right? In that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. So on the day of Pentecost, the redemptive theme of God working toward restoring fellowship with his people has taken another huge step. Christ was the temple. He was with his people here on earth. But now his Spirit is in them. He is in them. What does that mean? Well, it means this. Let's look at Ephesians 22 here, or 2:22. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. So, what has happened here? Right now, where is the temple of God? Where is the place that he dwells so that he can meet with his people? Where is it? It's the church. It's us. It's here it is. in him you also being built together into a dwelling place for God, into a temple by the Spirit. So Christ's Spirit is in us. Let's see, what does Paul say here? It's in, I think that one's in 2 Corinthians here, just a second. We'll look at this as a theme. Oh yeah, here it is. It's in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 3. Okay. Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? And I think there's even more than that. Yeah. Here's the one in 2 Corinthians. Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? What accord, agreement, has Christ with Belial, with Satan? Or what portion does a believer share with an unbeliever? Look at this now. What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God said, and here's that theme again, I will make my dwelling among them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. So there it is. Right now, God has drawn that much closer so that each individual Christian is the temple of God because the Spirit of God dwells in him, but also the true church is the temple of God. We are the temple of the living God, all right? That's a whole lot. Well, let's put it this way. Every real Christian, every person that's been born again by faith in Christ and regenerated has the Holy Spirit dwelling in them. We are the holy of holies. Right? And yet, we are not consumed. That's what the work of Christ has effected. We are the holy of holies. And Paul here is reminding the Corinthians and us then that, you know, don't be bound together. Don't live like the world. Don't be bound together with unbelievers. Don't live like they live. You are the temple of God. You are the holy of holies. Let's see here. Also, temple of God, Hebrews 3. Hebrews 3:6. But Christ is faithful over God's house as a son. And we are his house, if indeed we hold fast our confidence and our boasting in our hope. 1 Peter 2. Oh, that one's worth pulling up on the screen here. As you come to him, talking about Christ, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious. He's the cornerstone, right? The foundation. You yourselves, you individual Christians, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house, a temple, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, behold, I'm laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. And then, let's see. Once you were not a people, now you are God's people. At any rate, okay, you see, there again's that theme. We, as Christians, the true church, the true body of Christ, or the temple right now, how close is that fellowship? It's Christ in us. But That's still not the end of the story. Things don't stop right there. What we have as we come then to Revelation 21. I was going to see if there were any other. Okay, well, we'll just go back to Revelation 21 here in just a second. Then, all right. Now, what's going on here? Well, in this new heaven and new earth, we have John hearing this voice from the throne. It's really the voice of God, voice of Christ. And it's saying, basically what it's saying, I'll read it here, but it's saying, it is done. It is done. The goal for which and toward which God has been moving all along, ever since back in Genesis, to restore fellowship with his people, has been fully and finally accomplished in the new heavens and the new earth. And the wording here describes it as such a reality and such a certainty that it's like it's already happened. Okay, so I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, it's like, look, you know, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. That phrase is repeated all through the Bible from beginning to end. That's the end story. That's the goal, which, by the way, you know, it's like if the Bible were to, if your Bible would have, after the last verse, you know, down at the bottom said, the end. But really, what? The end is really the beginning. That's in the new creation and so on. So, I wanted to show you here. Let's see. I might have to just scroll down here. The New Jerusalem, okay, describes the New Jerusalem. We'll have to look at that. It describes it in detail. Oh, here it is. Okay, check this out. Verse 22. Now, this sounds odd. And I saw no temple in the city. Okay, so in the new creation, the New Jerusalem, there's no temple. How come? Why wouldn't there be a temple? For its temple is the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb. In other words, the whole creation, the entire new creation, is the temple. Because absolutely uninterrupted relationship with God has been fully restored. Wherever you go, you're in the temple. In the new creation, wherever you are, you're in the Holy of Holies. Wherever you are, you're face to face with God and the Lamb. And that's how it was supposed to be. I think you've got another book down here somewhere. Some of these things are... And by the way, so when you know the big picture, the storyline of the Bible, and this is it. This is the fundamental storyline of the Bible. What's the Bible about? It's about God, step by step, from Genesis to Revelation, restoring Eden, specifically restoring fellowship of God with his people. That is what it is about. And when you are aware of that big picture, the main storyline, then as you're reading your Bible, you want to constantly think, okay, how does this account, maybe the call of Abraham out of Ur, I guess he was still Abram then. But how does that relate? What's going on? You know, the Bible's not just this haphazard hodgepodge, patchwork of unrelated stories and things. Everything is happening according to plan. In fact, I guess maybe, yeah, here we are. This guy, Graham Goldsworthy, he's good at telling the story here. And so, an introduction to biblical theology. The title, According to Plan. Okay? According to Plan. Graham Goldsworthy, The Unfolding Revelation of God in the Bible. Let's just say on the back here. The massive diversity and complexity of the Bible can make it a daunting project for anyone to tackle. Getting a grasp on the unity of the Bible and its central message from Genesis to Revelation helps immensely in understanding the meaning of any one book or passage. That's the goal of this book, all right? How do the Old and New Testaments fit together? What's the point of biblical theology? Biblical theology is this discipline, this field of study, to study exactly what we've been talking about here. Identifying a main theme of the Bible and tracing it through. How does it all fit together? What's the overall story of the Bible? What difference does it make? This introductory text answers these questions. Okay, so there it is, you know. According to plan. It's all falling out according to plan. Graham Goldsworthy. G.K. Beale and another guy, Benjamin Glad, they wrote another biblical theological interpretation of the New Testament, and this one's called The Story Retold. I don't know if you can see that as well. The Story Retold. And that's really along the same lines. So it goes kind of book by book through the New Testament and connects the dots for you and follows that theme. So there's some others down here too, my little biblical theology section. This is G.K. Beale. Hidden but now revealed. Hidden but now revealed. It's like in the Old Testament, this theme was kind of more hidden. I mean, it's there, tabernacles being built, temples being built, all those kinds of things, but not quite as clear. But now, in the New Testament, it's revealed. It becomes plainer and plainer, you see. So, okay, anyway, that's still another one. So there's some good tools there to use. And what's this one? Oh, that's not on. Well, it's kind of biblical theology, but another one by G.K. Beale. That guy cranks them out, right? What a principle here, though. We become what we worship, right? If you worship an idol, you will increasingly become like that idol. If you worship Christ, you will increasingly become like Christ. Anyway, that's a little bit unrelated, but it's still kind of biblical theology. So, okay, so then that's the end point of the Bible. I saw no temple in the city, for the temple is the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb. So, He is there, He is present. The whole thing is the Holy of Holies. If I'm not mistaken, somewhere in G.K. Beale's writings, can't remember exactly. Well, I, you know what? I think it's in this one here. I think it's in his book, The Temple. The Temple and the Church's Mission. I think this is the one. Where he tells us, see, he's got chapters in here like this. The expanding purpose of temples in the Old Testament. What's this business of temples, you know? What's that all about? Well, it's about God dwelling among men. But I think it's in this book where he notes that the temple, the tabernacle, let's say the tabernacle in the wilderness that the Lord had Israel build, was like a model of the universe. Okay? It's kind of interesting, isn't it? It's like a model of the world. And he talks about why the porpoise skins and things were dyed blue or whatever. You know, it's like the sky and the stars and so forth. And the holy, and talking about how God is dwelling there but separated from man and all of those kinds of things. So the temple, God dwelling among man, is the master theme then of the Bible, and everything is moving toward that goal. And here it is. There's one more step in this theme to be accomplished, right? And it is the new heaven and the new earth when Christ comes again. And everything that went wrong is put right again, all right? So there it is. All right, well, we'll stop right there. And we'll plan to pick up again right here at the beginning of chapter 21 next time. Take a closer look at the new heaven, the new earth, the new Jerusalem, and what this is all about. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for these great truths to encourage us. We pray that the Lord Jesus would come soon and that we would once again dwell with you face to face. We thank you that in Christ you are dwelling in your people, in your church, right now building that new Jerusalem, which one day we will see in its fullness and perfection and be part of. So we thank you for all of these things and these promises and hopes, and we thank you in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.